Amen. One of the great things about testimonies, or I'm sorry, about baptism is testimonies. And I'm going to ask, for my group of people that are going to be sharing this morning to come. And if they just want to sit up here, actually, Ryan, why don't you go ahead and come right up here? Because you're going to be number one, brother. And I'm going to actually have each person introduce themselves and just share their story with you. And we do have a group of people that we know this morning that are going to be baptized. And so we want you to hear their story this morning.
All right, I'm not nervous. I've never really spoken to a crowd like this since, never. High school, I did a speech, I think, but there was not nearly as many people. Today, I made a decision. Well, I made a decision to show an outward. I can't remember it now. I draw a blank. An outward sign of an inward decision. Hence, I'm going to be baptized later on. A little bit about myself. First of all, my name is Ryan. I think I said that already. I'm supposed to keep this short, so if I start going over, somebody just give me a sign. I've made some really poor decisions when I was younger. When I was coming up, I thought I knew God. Hence, I got baptized when I was around 11 years old, but I did it for the wrong reasons. I did it to please my parents, mostly my father and my grandmother. They forced me to go to church every weekend, and being saved and baptized was a part of that. well, now that I've gone through some very, I guess we'd say, sinful times of my life, I've recently, about 36 days ago, decided to give all that up to God. And since then, I mean, it's just been crazy how things have just fallen in place. I mean, finding Trinity, being one of those, I feel very welcomed here. Everybody seems nice enough. And being comfortable in a church is a big thing for me. If I don't walk in and feel comfortable, I probably will not walk back in again. So that says a lot. I don't know. Like I said, I've gone through some really, really bad times and made some really poor decisions. And I know now that was me putting my will into my life rather than God's will into my life. And I'm just ready today to show the outward, whatever, you guys heard it, to do this and leave all those sinful ways in the water there, and come up and be reborn, and start my journey with my higher power. So, with that, I'm gonna let one of these other guys talk, so.
Awesome. Thank you, Ryan. What an incredible opportunity. Ryan actually was here last week, and it was through the testimony of other people when they were saying that I am redeemed, that he experienced Christ's redemption. And that's amazing. And so, and I want you to hear in that testimony, church, that Ryan wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the fact that we as a community have brought him in and were accepting of him and showed him love. Amen? That's pretty amazing. Patty, why don't you go ahead and come on up? Share with us.
Hi, my name is Patty, and this is my sixth beautiful Sunday here at Trinity. My first day here was March 3rd, and I decided to be saved that day as well. My life with Christ has been, they're really the only memories I have now, because I have been redeemed. Woo! And my journey before Christ, as a little girl, before I was even in double-digit ages, my innocence was stolen from me by a family member. I forgive that person, and I hope that they can find Christ and forgive themselves so that they truly can be forgiven. That left me feeling lost and unworthy, damaged, and I lived my life that way in destruction. I drove past Trinity with the job where I work for going on 8 years. Did not even know this church existed until Friday, March 1st, 2013. I was like, wow, look, they built that church yesterday just for me. Because I was reaching out to God, and I'm like, I need to find my church. And I looked, and I was like, where did that come from? What's a Trinity? I got to Google that when I get to work. And I did, and it's been home ever since. So I did. I made some horrible choices the way that I lived. I did believe in God, but I had an ongoing fight with him because I wasn't getting things the way that I wanted them. Go figure. So I learned about how I was living life in my will and not his. I'm not in control. He is. And that I was fighting a fight that had already been won. And when I understand that, I can stand here and give testimony that no matter what you did, you are not that when you take a life with Jesus Christ. So I am honored to be here, to be baptized today, and to move forward with however Christ would have me lay my life down for him.
That's awesome. Good stuff. And you know what's amazing, because I just want to link into that testimony from Patty. On Wednesday nights during prayer meeting, if you attend here, you will, number one, probably keep coming because it's pretty powerful and amazing, if I say so myself. Because I'm not the one that does anything. Christ does everything on that Wednesday nights. But the amazing thing that we pray for every single Wednesday night is that God would grab people that are driving by and he would draw them into this place. We always talk about that he would draw people to himself through his church. We're the mechanism that God chooses to use to spread his message. So we pray that prayer diligently every Wednesday night. So the fact that Patty is driving down the road and she says, oh my word, they built that church yesterday, you know, it's not by mistake, folks. And if I gave people here opportunity to share their own personal stories of how they were driving by or how God brought them to this place, it is amazing. It is absolutely amazing. Jennifer, come share with us. Here, I'll even give you a hand.
Oh, thank you. Okay. Oh my gosh. I'm very, very nervous, so bear with me. I'm Jen. I've been with Trinity. We've been members for about, I don't even remember how long ago it was, probably about 4 or 5 years ago. I had a lot of struggles. I was baptized probably when I was about 12 years old. I grew up in the church, grew up at a Baptist church, with my mom and my grandparents, and it was kind of like the thing to do when you're in that age with all the other kids, and we learned a little bit about it, and they just said, okay, now it's time for you guys to be baptized now, and so we're like, okay, we did, and didn't really understood really what that meant when I was a teenager, and you know, I tried to do the right things, and I think I was a pretty good girl, followed the rules, everything like that. But had a pretty rough late teenager years and in my 20s. A lot of bad things happened, and I kind of turned away from God because I was like, why is this happening to me? I've been good all my life. I've been doing the right thing, and my world came crashing down on me, not once, but many, many times, and I was so, so angry, and I didn't know where to turn, and I didn't know what to do, and just kept on bottling up all that anger inside of me, and it wasn't, until we were living literally right next door here, and we decided just to kind of walk over and check it out and see how it is. Been away from the church for a while, and my girls were really young at the time, so I kind of thought, well, maybe this is what we need to do. And it was scary at first because I was still so angry with God, with what he had put me through. And just kept on coming back. It took a while, but we kept on coming back. And we fell in love with the church. We fell in love with the family. But it wasn't until last year, I was at a conference with all my mom friends. My girlfriends, and I decided to let it go.
Amen.
I just let it go, and I gave it to God. And the second I did that, I felt 100 pounds lighter.
That's right. Amen.
And it was just amazing how much I felt, how much better I felt, how much my life was, how much my marriage was so much better, and my children. The communication between them, and of course, they're preteens now, so we have that communication. But it's amazing how much. All I had to do is just turn it over to him. It's all I had to do, and all that anger is gone. I don't feel like that anymore because now I know who to go to when I am feeling angry, feeling sad, or I'm feeling anything. I know who I can go to and who I can turn to because he. I had been standing there the entire time.
That's right.
Waiting for me, and he came and he opened his arms and he came running to me. As all I had to do was just say, "Here you go, God." And so now today, I'm just rededicating my life to him because I have finally found that relationship with him that I had been longing, that I didn't know that I was longing, but I finally did. And so I thank you guys.
Awesome. Awesome. There's actually here in two of the testimonies already of people that have said, I've been baptized before. And I want to tell you this morning that if you've been baptized before, you don't need to be baptized again. You don't get more clean that way. But if your heart wasn't in the right place, if you know you did it for the wrong reasons, and you want to put the declaration out there to say, God, I know that when I did this before, it was not done right. But today, I want to make that declaration. It doesn't mean that you get more clean. It means that you are putting your priorities in the right place. And so I want to remind you all that this morning, too, of when we're hearing these stories. Rick, come share with us. Aren't these stories amazing?
Morning, Trinity family. It was on that same Sunday, March 3rd, my Christian friend Patty was in charge of finding a church. I knew things had gone wrong on the 4th of January when I found Christ. Little background, I was raised Roman Catholic, baptized when I was a baby, and had First Communion when I was 10 years old, and I knew the Holy Spirit then. I had communion with the Holy Spirit. I knew what that looked like. I knew what that felt like. And then, as you were saying this morning, Satan decided to reside at my home that I lived in my whole life, 2269 Blodgett Street. He decided to take up residence and take my mother first, then my father, and alcoholism took over. And inside little Ricky went away, and anger, resentment, and fear were ever present every day. And eventually, he got a hold of me in college, and I went down that same road. And it wasn't until Chesapeake Landing, June 16th, 2009, that I had a vision and a dream of God coming down and saying, wake up. And I woke up. I was drunk. And he said, you're going to die today if you don't change your ways. And I listened. And so 1,391 days ago, that vision happened, which led me to meet Patricia, which led me to this beautiful church, which led me to Pastor Herb coming up that aisle. You just said, look up. That's when I felt it. So I'm feeling that that fear doesn't have to be there anymore. And the strength comes from all of you, because I'm seeing what it's doing to all of your lives. And I'm helping my fellow AA people in my way, so they don't fall, because I know what they went through. I know what that struggle is. I know what that looks like. And it's just beautiful to be able to wash all that stuff from little Ricky to big Ricky and see a sayonara. I didn't think it'd be that easy. There's a lot of stuff. But anyway, that's I feel blessed to be here and honored to be a part of this family. Thank you.
Awesome. We have one more testimony to share. Yes, I can read it. If you don't know, this is my daughter, Peyton. And Peyton, how old are you?
Seven.
And can I ask you a couple questions? Is that okay? Do you remember last year when you said that we talked about baptism? Do you remember what you said? You said that someday I'd like to be baptized. Do you remember this? No. And we were driving in the car, and you said, someday I want to be baptized. And we said, that'd be great. And both mommy and I encouraged you and said, whenever God, you know, puts that on your heart and you want to do that. And you said, probably when I'm 70. Did you remember that when you said that? No. We do. We remember that. And so you have written some stuff down here, right? And you want me to read this? It says, my name is Peyton Suzanne Spangenberg. I asked Jesus into my heart when I was 3 years old. I'm thankful that Jesus has brought us to Trinity. I have felt like the Lord has told me to be baptized, and I'm excited to live for Jesus. Amen. Good job. I didn't plan this, but all the testimonies actually cover the points at the end of my message time to show and to share maybe where you're at this morning. Some children and some parents might be saying, well, how young is too young? Trust me, we've tried over and over again to convince Peyton not to do this today. And I even asked her very specific questions. Tell me what baptism is. And she can articulate to us very clearly what baptism is. And I was like, can't you just get that wrong? You know, and not that we don't desire for her to be baptized, but what this means is we desire for her to make that choice herself, because nobody can make this choice for you. And so people ask, well, how young is too young? As parents, you need to know your children, and you need to know the heart of your child, and you need to know if they're prepared in their heart and if they can articulate to you what baptism means. And we went through this for the past, oh man, probably 6 months. We've been talking to her and making sure that her heart is in the right place. The other thing that you heard from Rick's testimony is that he was baptized as a child. You know, baptism as a child is something that we as a Nazarene church, we believe in. A lot of people forget that we believe in infant baptism as well. We don't, you know, no pun intended, throw the baby out with the bathwater, right? But we believe in that as well. We lean people more towards dedication, because we want them as parents to dedicate their little ones to Christ and then teach them how to grow in their relationship with Christ so that their child can eventually make that decision for themselves. And so, but for many of you, you might be sitting here this morning and saying, well, I was baptized as a child. Today is a day about making choices. It's about choosing to follow Christ. And if you didn't have the choice when you were baptized as a baby, that child, you as a child, didn't have a choice. Today, you can make a choice. And see, the amazing thing that's happening this morning is we're going to do something crazy. We're going to call all believing, non-baptized Christians this morning to be baptized. And that's what we're going to do. And because we believe in it so much. So that's one of the things that I want you to realize this morning. And if your heart is pounding right now and you're like kind of getting the sweats, it's because the Spirit is speaking to you. The Spirit, trust me, I don't have the ability the Spirit does. The Spirit convicts us. The Spirit leads us in those types of, in those ways. So we're going to call for people to be baptized today. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next year, not next month. We're going to call believing Christians who are not baptized to be baptized this morning. And we're going to celebrate. Did you all come to celebrate this morning? Yeah. Amen. Amen. All right, let's do this. I want to share with you some scripture. All right. So Acts chapter 2. Can we get a little bit more house light so we can see Acts chapter 2? This is, these are powerful words. I'm going to try to, key phrase is try. Explain this to you kind of as quick as possible. So Acts chapter 2, something amazing happens at verse 14. This is right after Pentecost. So the 11 apostles were standing on the hill, and all of a sudden, what looked like tongues of fire came and rested upon each of them where they were standing. And they experienced the holy fire of Pentecost in that moment. And so this incredible thing happens, but then they got ridiculed for it. So all the crowd, you know, even though they were hearing each of the apostles in their own language, they started to make fun of them. Like, oh, what's this all about? Why are they doing this? What does this mean? And then if you remember, if you look in verse 13, it says, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said, they've had too much wine. So basically, they're making fun of the apostles saying, they must be drunk, right? They were drunk. I just want to go on record. They were drunk on God. Amen? Amen? Come on, right? Some of you will get that later. So then, verse 14 is a powerful verse. In all of Scripture, in all of the New Testament, this is one of the most powerful verses that you can read. Verse 14. Then Peter stood up with the 11. Then Peter stood up. Peter had a choice. Peter didn't have to stand up. I mean, we know that he had to stand up because we see what happened to the result of him standing up. But he didn't have to. He could make the choice for himself to stand up. And he stands up, and in front of all those people, he declares this word. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Even my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day. Now, here, verse 21. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where the rubber meets the road. Verse 21. And everyone who calls on my name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's powerful. That's powerful. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose for the foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. It was impossible. It was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. So it's amazing for us when we realize that this morning we are taking what happened last week in Easter and celebrating the resurrection, and we are carrying it over into celebrating the resurrection of our lives now. Right now, that happens as we sit here. And so moving forward, go over to verse 36, because Peter explained to them who Christ was and what he did for them. In verse 36, it says, "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" So when the amazing thing happens, when Peter explains to them who Christ is and the power of his death and the power of his resurrection, all of a sudden he caught their attention. He stood up and he addressed the crowd, and they're going, whoa, wait a minute. I want to know more. What does this mean? Tell me what this means. And it says right now that they were cut to the heart, right? They were cut to the heart and said to Peter, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Even before Peter could explain to them that there was something that they could do after hearing about this person called Christ, they were already asking the question, something should happen. Amen? Something should happen. I need to do something with this. I can't just hear these words and just go about my business. I've heard this transforming power. I've heard of this incredible redemptive Savior. And now they want to know, what do I need to do? So this is what he reads to them. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, from all whom the Lord your God will call." With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Hey, listen. I don't know about you, but when I look around, I see a pretty corrupt generation. Do you? So these words come to us not just 2,000 years ago, but right now in 2013. These words come to us. "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. 3,000 were added to their number. I mean, that's amazing. When you think about what that transforming word did to them and their lives, and the fact that after they said, "We've got to do something." But see, there's an order to this that we can't get out of order. We can't get this out of order. Because remember what it says right here in verse 38, "Repent and be baptized." This is the order that you have to remember this morning. It's meeting God in repentance, believing, and then being baptized. We can't get this wrong. We can't get this out of order. You have to first have a repenting relationship, meaning that you go before God and you say, "God," and you just go through the list and you pray the prayer of, "There are things that I'm sure I'm leaving off, God, but would you take those as well?" And you go through and you repent and you say, "God, I got to believe. I want to believe in your Holy Spirit. I want to understand what happened on the cross and the death that happened for me, and that you were raised on the third day." That's that repentance, that act of repentance. And then in that you believe. And then through belief, there's an action item, right? The action is to be baptized. So baptism is an outward expression of an inward decision. It's an outward expression of an inward decision. Everybody say, outward expression, of an inward decision. That's correct. It's an outward expression of an inward decision. Now, shoot over to Acts chapter 8. I'm going to apologize now because we are going to go over. Praise the Lord. I don't know about you. My watch stopped, so... Sorry about your luck. I don't wear one, right? Come on, amen? So Acts chapter 8, Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. This is amazing. "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip," I'm at verse 26, "Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down to Jerusalem to Gaza." So we started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch. an important official in charge of the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. I love this. The Spirit told Philip, go to the chariot and stay near it, right? So what do you think Philip does? Of course, what he does. Then Philip ran up to the chariot. I love this. It's obedience, because the Holy Spirit said, go stand by that chariot. And Philip took what the Holy Spirit said, and he took it the extra mile. He said, I'm going to run. Because when the Spirit tells me to do something, guess what? I need to do it. Amen. There's no messing around with that. You don't just listen to the Spirit when he moves in your heart and your life, and all of a sudden you get to say, I don't know, you know? I mean, like, that's the power of these moments. The Spirit says to Philip, go and stay near it. So Philip ran up to the chariot, and he heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you were reading? Philip asked. How can I? He said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and to sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. How amazing is it that out of all the passages in the Old Testament that the eunuch could be reading, out of all the passages that he could have been reading, it's particularly out of the book of Isaiah. This is the passage he reads. I was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, listen to the desperation in his voice. Listen to the desperation. Tell me, please, who is this prophet talking about? Is it himself or is it someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. Amen? Yeah. Because any word about Jesus, guess what, folks? It's good news. He told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? I love that. I love it. He just says, here is some water. We don't know how big this water was. It could have been a puddle. It could have been a river. It could have been the Sea of Galilee. It could have been a hose attached to a neighbor's house. I mean, okay, you're probably aware that they didn't have hoses or a neighbor's house, but what I'm trying to help you understand is it didn't matter how much water there was. Water is a part of it. What mattered was the Ethiopian eunuch heard this message that Christ had revealed to him through the scripture. He had experienced this message. And he too, like the 3,000 that heard earlier before, said, what must I do? I've got to do something with this. It's not enough just to hear. I've got to do something. And so all of a sudden he gets to this place where he's standing there and he goes, here's some water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? Because in his heart, he was like, I need to do this. And so all of a sudden, we get to this place where Philip looks at him and he says, when they came up out, and he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Here's the thing that's a key this morning. When you experience baptism, it's a joyful occasion. Just like the eunuch, when he came out of the water, he was rejoicing. I'm anticipating already that people that are going to make a decision to be baptized this morning, when they come out of the water, guess what? They're going to be fired up, right? They're going to be fired up. They might do like the Arsenio Hall, you know what I mean? Or you know, anybody? Nobody? Okay. They might do they might do like the Hulk Hogan, you know what I mean? Like, they might do the Rock Fist. I don't know. I really honestly don't care, because whatever expression that is coming up out of the water, it's of joy. It's of joy because the Spirit of joy resides in us and we get to experience that cleansing water. Amen. And so for us this morning, though, congregation, especially those of you who are believers and have been baptized, we need to celebrate with them. I want people coming out of the water to hear the church celebrating with them. And you know what? If we can get excited about Michigan going to the championship, just throwing that out there. If we can get excited about that, or Trey Burke's hitting a 30-footer in order to get them there. I think that we can celebrate when somebody gives their life full in surrender to Christ. Amen? Amen? I'm pumped. I'm way out of my notes, folks. Way out. Let me keep going here. I want to share this with you because this is the symbolism of baptism. Then I'm going to give you instructions and then we're going to rock and roll, okay? Are you guys ready for this?
Yes.
All right, here we go. This is the symbolism of baptism. In Romans 6, this is what we read. Romans 6, verse 3 through 5. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death. You see, what happens is when we walk down into the baptistry, when you walk down the steps, in fact, Sean, go ahead and put a live shot up there because I want you all to see exactly what I'm talking about. When you walk down into the steps for baptism, your old life is going down and experiencing death and experiencing death with Christ. Because remember what the scripture says, I'm crucified with Christ. Therefore, I no longer live, but he lives where? In me. That's what you get to experience in this. I'm crucified with Christ. This is the with part. This is the part where you get to symbolically experience his death. So you go down into the water and then we put you down into the water and we hold you there for 3 days. Right? No, I don't think that's the way that works. Three minutes. No, just teasing. But in that symbolic moment, when you go down into the water, you are experiencing that burial. And guess what's dying in those couple of seconds when you're under the water? You are. You are dying. Your old self is dying. Who you used to be is dying. Who you thought you were is dying. Because you are experiencing that burial in that moment. And all of a sudden, when you come up out of the water, it's that joyous moment. It's that incredible occasion when you now experience that new life in Christ. It's just like Christ. Let me keep reading here. In order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. This is good news. We too can experience new life. So then we keep reading and it says, if we have been united with him like this in death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. Amen. So here we go. Here's the excuses. I'm not dressed for this. But don't worry. We got it covered. We have a pair of shorts. We have a shirt that we're going to give you that if you're going to make the decision right now today to be baptized, we've got clothes waiting for you. We actually have a whole system, and I'm going to get to that in a second. But I don't want the fact that you didn't come prepared to be baptized in order to stop you. You can say, my family's not here. Well, the truth is, I want to be very specific about this. When you stand before the judgment seat, which everybody will, you're not going to be able to say, hold on a second, Jesus, let me get my family. Because when you stand there, guess who's going to be standing there? You are. Nobody else is going to be standing there. Now, I understand that family is very, very important. And so I don't want to stop anybody. If that really is something that's holding you back, this is between you and God. I can't make this decision for you. And I pray that I don't. I pray that this decision isn't even made on excitement. I really don't, because I want this decision to be made by you personally, that you feel that God has called you to this place and at this time for you to be baptized, to experience his glory within you. So the other excuse is, I don't have time. Well, sorry about that. So I'm fearful that some of you this morning, I just don't know how to address the time thing because, you know, I mean, we're on his time. We're on his time. So I'm fearful that some of us are going to hear this morning that baptism is a means of salvation. And it's not. Because Ephesians 2:8 specifically tells us, and it's very clear, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. That you've been saved through faith. And it's not from yourselves, it's the gift from God. I want you to hear this. No work can save you. No amount of baptisms can make you cleaner. Giving more doesn't save you. Showing up here more doesn't save you. Baptism isn't about salvation. It's about consecration. Baptism is not about salvation. It's about identification. You come up out of that water, you're soaking wet. Guess what? I think it's pretty identifiable that something just happened to you, right? But guess what? When you dry off, you still leave. You're still baptized. And your life should then be lived in according to that. To be able to say, I'm a new believer, a new creation. Or the dead is gone. I want to end here by telling you what the plan is. Some people are going to make a decision this morning, and I believe this, to be baptized. I'm going to ask the band if they would come and get prepared. And also, if you're volunteering this morning, if you're a volunteer, if you would make your way out as well. We have a plan that we've put in place. We have a dark shorts for you that you can put on. We have a shirt for you that you can put on. In fact, I believe, and Michelle can confirm this for me, that we actually this year have undergarments for people. So women, men, we had plenty of people donate. I'm just kidding. We didn't have to. We purchased undergarments for people. So that literally, that is not an excuse that people can't experience this incredible moment. And so what will end up happening is, we have a system to ensure so that when you go out, I'm going to call for all of us. We're all going to stand on the count of three together and rejoice and celebrate. And then if you this morning say, I'm a believer, I've repented, I'm a believer, and I haven't experienced baptism, but I want to experience it today, then you're just going to go out the back doors, and we have a whole host of volunteers that are going to give you a shirt, they're going to give you shorts, and then we are going to ensure that you have a private room to change in. Nobody else will be in there. And then you can leave your stuff there, and we have people that will be watching over it to make sure that it's safe. And then after that, you're going to come down through the back way, through the hallways, and make your way over here to the hallway in front of the prayer room, and then you will come up into the baptistry and come down. I'll ask you to hold your nose. And so you'll actually hold your nose and then hold your wrist like this. And I will say your name. You'll be baptized. Come up out of the water. When you come up on the other side, we'll have a towel waiting for you. So we have a towel for everyone. And so you will be taken care of. We have everything set up so that there is no excuses of why you can't experience this today. Amen? So, and also too, if you are going and your kids are here, guess what? There's a lot of really great family here. And hopefully if you don't have a family member, there's somebody here that you can just say, hey, can you do me a favor and watch my kids? Because they're in good hands. All right, we'll make sure that they're taken care of as well. So do you agree this morning that the presence of God creates excitement? Yes. Amen. Well, we want to encourage that excitement. And we want for people this morning to experience this powerful moment. And hopefully you have heard the testimonies of those that we know are going to be baptized this morning. And your heart is stirred to the point right now where you're saying, I want to experience this. And so what we're going to do now is we're going to count to three. All right. Pretty easy. One, two, three. And we're going to stand up and we're going to celebrate and we're going to clap. And then we're going to begin singing. And if you this morning would like to be baptized, I'm just going to ask at that point if you would go right out the back. And then you can experience baptism this morning. All right? All right. So you guys all ready? All right. One, two, three. Let's go. Well, how incredible was that moment? Amen. Isn't that awesome? And I'm not sure if we have, do we have a number? If somebody maybe can find out what that number is, we'll, We want to close our service here and just pronounce a benediction over you all. And then the band's going to actually play one song that we played last week called Once and For All. And if you'd want to stay and just kind of worship with that, you're more than welcome. There will be the closing of our service. Again, we just thank you for being a part of the service this morning and being here to celebrate with us at Trinity. We are believing God to do incredible things this year. Amen.
Wow.
Yes.
He kept singing, so we haven't had sprinkling yet.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so during this song, if you would like to come forward and receive baptism through sprinkling, you can do that just by stepping down here up front, and Pastor Herb will be here to do that. So if that's something that you would want to participate in during this next song, feel free to come on down, okay? So we had 17 baptisms this morning. Amen. It's awesome. Yes, and then also right across the hall today, we have family stuff. So if you're visiting with us, we'd like to personally invite you to experience family stuff. It's an opportunity for us to fellowship. And so we're going to go actually right from here, right across the hall into the gym. And we've got plenty of food for everyone. It's just an opportunity for the congregation to be together and to hang out. And maybe you would like to connect with some of those people this morning that were baptized and wish them congratulations. So let us go to him now as we close our service. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen.